Hi, and welcome to Sunday Replay for the service at Harmony Tulika Lake on September 1st, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Miller, and this week we had a special guest, the Reverend Dr. Mary Dennis. She gave us a message entitled So Many Marys, which concluded our sermon series, Badass Women of the Bible. Let's listen in.
Good morning. I'm Reverend Mary Dennis, and I'm so pleased to be with you today. When Pastor Mark told me he was planning this sermon series, I jumped right on board. And what you don't know is that I just retired 2 months ago, and I told my boss, the district superintendent in the North District, I said, don't ask me to do anything for 6 months. All right? So 2 months in, here I am preaching for you. So, and it's a joy because just like Rev Jefferson said last week, this is a message I've been wanting to give for years. And so I'm very excited today to be part of your sermon series, Badass Women of the Bible. It'll be concluding today for a while. I heard Pastor Mark say that they'll maybe pick this up at another time down the road. But for now, we'll continue, and there's going to be a bit of a surprise, so you're just going to have to wait for it, okay? All right, first of all, most of you have come to know my daughter, Julia, who just gave the children's message, and because she serves here with your family ministries as your director, and then my son-in-law, Tommy, you've gotten to know him as well, and my grandsons, your official liturgical dancer, Waylon, and then Holt, whom I baptized right here a few weeks ago. But you may have seen me in worship as well. And now you know I'm a retired United Methodist pastor, okay? But what you probably don't know is that I come out of the Roman Catholic tradition of, you know, of the Christian faith. And so I went to parochial school for my first 8 years, and that was in the early and mid-60s, where our teachers were mostly nuns, okay? So the thing you probably don't realize, and the thing that was so detrimental, I personally believe, was that we had one teacher for 60 students back then. Can you even imagine that? So anyone who's a parent or has been a teacher, you're like, I can't even wrap my head around that one. But that was true, and however, it never fazed my parents. That was just par for the course in Catholic schools in the 1960s. So even more challenging for me was the fact that 1 in 6 female students were named Mary, like me. So there was Mary Catherine, there was Mary Sue, there was Mary Elizabeth. But nevertheless, it was still very confusing when the teachers called upon us, and especially so when we got in trouble. The nuns constantly mixed us Marys up. There were just so many of us. However, this was not only a problem in Catholic schools in Maryland in the 1960s. The predominance of women in the Bible named Mary, especially in the Gospels, has also led to much confusion. Now let's see, there was Mary, the mother of Jesus, the mother of James and Joseph, the mother of John Mark, Mary of Bethany, Mary of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. So is it any wonder that some of these Marys have been misidentified over time? For example, take today's lesson from John's Gospel. You might wonder, well, which Mary is this, right? I thought I knew. I'd even preached about these sisters over the last 20 years. Could I have mixed them up? Perhaps. Let's go a little deeper, shall we? We first met sisters Mary and Martha at the end of the 10th chapter of Luke's Gospel. Jesus and the disciples were on their way to Jerusalem, and they came to a village where a woman named Martha welcomed them to her home. Her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listening to every word. Martha complained to Jesus and asked him to tell Mary to help with the chores. Does that sound familiar? Have you heard that story? Okay. So how did he respond? Jesus calls Martha out for being upset with such details. He tells her there's only one thing to be concerned about, and Mary has discovered it, and I won't take that away from her. Mic drop. While Martha stewed, Mary was learning about life in the kingdom of God, which is the better part, mind you. Obviously, Martha was task-oriented, Whereas Mary was curious about God, about life, and about love. So she sat at Jesus' feet, hanging on to his every word. And as a result, she was growing deeper in faith. Now, there's two things I want to call your attention to here. First, the village was never identified as Bethany. Maps of the first century show that the town of Bethany is actually in the opposite direction from where Jesus and his disciples were traveling in Luke's account. And second, notice that Martha welcomes the men into her home. Now remember, this is a patriarchal society where women lived at home with their families. So if these sisters had had a brother, Martha would have welcomed them into his home. In other words, it could only be Martha's house if she had no husband and no brother and no father. So then, where is Lazarus? These are two facts that raise the question of whether these two sisters, named Mary and Martha, are indeed the women in today's lesson from John. I think not. And here's why. For so long, Bible preachers, teachers, and readers have conflated Luke 10 with John 11. And they believed that the sisters in both Gospels were one and the same, just as I had. Yet recent biblical scholarship reveals that these are two unrelated stories that the tradition has brought together. So why does this matter? Let me explain. Recently, there has been a discovery, a shakeup, actually, of biblical proportions, and I am not exaggerating. It all started when Elizabeth Schrader was a PhD student at Duke University. One day in prayer, she heard a voice saying, "Follow Mary Magdalene." Of course, she was startled by this. And she was a former songwriter, so she said, "Oh, well, I'll write a song about her," and that's what she did. Well, that worked for a while, but then she felt compelled to learn more about this Mary. In her quest to go deeper, Elizabeth was invited to come to General Theological Seminary, which is in New York City. And she felt called to enroll in a master's degree program focused on the New Testament. Well, that was 10 years ago. While there, she learned Greek, Coptic, and Aramaic, and they are the three languages that make up the original New Testament. This helped her to be able to translate scriptures as she was doing her studies with those earliest writings that were available. Well, as she completed her master's studies, she had to write a thesis, and she decided to write her final paper on John 11, which was today's scripture lesson that you just heard. John 11 and Mary Magdalene. What? Through her research, she discovered that the earliest possible New Testament text had become digitized. So she arranged to study them so she might say something new and different about them for her thesis. So Mary went to the library and pulled up Papyrus 66, which is the oldest and most complete text of the Gospel of John. While comparing it to the English Bible, she noticed something that no scholar had ever noticed. She discovered through textual analysis that someone had altered the text in the Gospel of John and split that character of Mary into two. As a result, Mary became Mary and Martha. Well, that should never have happened. This was an amazing discovery, especially for a master's degree student. Excerpts of Elizabeth's master's thesis were soon published in the Harvard Theological Review, which is a big deal. Then the New Testament scholars throughout the world started assessing her work. They shockingly realized that they may need to have to make changes to John chapters 11 and 12 to take Martha out. Now that's astounding. However, Elizabeth's discovery does not affect Luke 10, the story where Martha gets annoyed with Mary. That stays in. That's a whole separate thing. So what does this mean, and why does it matter? Well, it means that today's lesson from John 11 is about Lazarus and one woman, his one sister, Mary. She's the one who told Jesus, "I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." This is relevant because this is one of only two confessions in the New Testament that Jesus is the Messiah. That means the anointed one or Savior. Who knows the name of the other person? Anyone? Call it out. Who is the other one? Do you remember the story where Jesus says to the disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" It was Peter. It was Peter who called out, "You were the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Does that sound familiar? Yeah. And immediately Jesus said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." So here's the revelation, friends. There's actually been long speculation that this Mary, who's in today's lesson, is actually Mary Magdalene. Could it be that this only other Christological confession comes from her? Has the Gospel of John attributed this Mary's voice to the most important statement in the New Testament? I believe so. I believe the answer is yes and yes. Now remember that all four Gospels identify Mary Magdalene as the first witness to the resurrection, which alone elevates her to VIP Jesus follower status. Amen? So look at it this way. She was there when her brother Lazarus was raised from the dead, and also at the grave, where she is the first to be greeted by the resurrected Christ. Friends, this is no coincidence. Mary Magdalene has special status, and for good reasons. American theologian and church historian Leonard Sweet talks about it this way. There's a magic moment in time when only one person in the whole world, one person walking the planet Earth, knew the good news of "He's alive," the ultimate breaking news that would forever change the course of humanity. For that brief sacred instant, this one person was the whole church. The whole Jesus story hinged on what that one person would do with the truth. Would she cherish it and keep it to herself? Or would she share it with others and become what the Roman Catholic Church even titles this person, the apostle to the apostles? Who are we talking about? Mary Magdalene. What did she do? She shared it. And if that's not badass, I don't know what is. And in this case, in case you were thinking, well, wait, this Mary's from Magdala, not Bethany. Well, we've all been duped, friends. Mary was not from Magdala. It is not a location, but a title. The word Magdala in Aramaic means high tower. So after her confession that Jesus is Messiah, she comes to be known as Mary, the high tower of faith. Yeah. So let's all go back to the beginning. This Mary, who we first met in Luke 8, had suffered from seven maladies, also referred to as demon possession. Her distress overpowered her. Her isolation was unbearable. But what matters is that upon meeting Jesus with a word and a touch, she was healed completely. She was free to live as a fully integrated person, possibly for the first time. Afterwards, we know that Mary Magdalene traveled with Jesus and the disciples and contributed to their ministry and served them. Today's lesson tells us that she was the woman who poured the expensive perfume on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. And this is the action that so outraged Judas that he went to the religious authorities to turn Jesus in. For him, it was the last straw. Then when Jesus was arrested and tried, this Mary stayed as one by one the other disciples fled, and Jesus denied him three times. Even though her heart was broken by his mistreatment, she stayed with his mother Mary at the cross and at the burial. Then on the third day, she showed up at the tomb to find it empty, and the rest is history. Before long, the Western Church maligned this badass woman of faith by calling her a sinner, a promiscuous woman, and a prostitute. Could it be that they were concerned about her following and her power as Mary the high tower of faith over and against Peter the Rock? Could it have been there was some rivalry there? I wonder. After all, this Mary is mentioned 12 times in the Gospels, which is more times than most of the apostles and more than any other woman in the Gospels other than Jesus' mother. Did that make her a threat to the patriarchal society of the early church? I believe that for a time it did. However, today, if you Google the name Mary Magdalene, you will discover that she's considered a saint in the Roman Catholic, Eastern Orthodox, Anglican, and Lutheran denominations. By the way, we Methodists don't venerate saints, and that's why we're not on the list. For us, they only serve as role models. Then in 2016, Pope Francis corrected the misconceptions about this badass woman and made her a saint. She's now honored as a heroine of the faith, indeed a high tower to be looked up to and admired. Incidentally, the Eastern Orthodox Church never maligned her. She was always special to them. They kept in mind that when Jesus healed her, that part of her life was done. And we start counting from that point on forward to her value. I really thank them for that. My Google search surprisingly revealed that there's a Gospel of Mary Magdalene. Did you know that? I didn't. I was so surprised. She's described in this Gospel as a reflective, wise spiritualist, beloved of Jesus. Now, one more thing about Dan Brown and that best-selling book, The Da Vinci Code. I know I read it. I imagine many of you did when it was a bestseller. You know, we got to remember that is a work of fiction. There's no evidence to support the claims that Jesus and Mary Magdalene were married or that they had a child together. However, suffice it to say that they were quite close. Still, I can't help but wonder what the Christian church would be like today if Mary Magdalene had not had her reputation ruined. What if she had been held in equal status with Peter from the start? That might have prevented 2,000 years of discrimination against women in leadership in the church. Amen. Incidentally, it wasn't until 1956 that the United Methodist Church gave women full rights and benefits as clergymen. But now I know that you have seriously heard some stories from retired Bishop Marianne Swenson about her experience of being a pioneering woman in the church. And even my daughter Julia has shared some of my story of being judged, put down for my gender, and my audacity to answer my call to ordain ministry. I won't sugarcoat it. It's been tough. Even so, I have to admit we've come a long way. Fun fact, presently there are actually more women bishops than men in the United Methodist Church. Really. But I digress. So now back to Mary Magdalene. Will you help me list some of this badass woman's traits? Just call them out. What did you hear from the story today? What do you know of her? Brave. What else? Persistent, yes. Faithful. What was it? Beloved, absolutely. Courageous, bold, loyal, caring, and so much more. This badass woman has a lot to teach us. In fact, she offers us a blueprint to become badass too. Would you like that? Okay, then listen up. I'll tell you how. First, this Mary teaches us that when others try to malign us and break us down, spit on us, and tell us that we're unworthy, that's when we hold fast to our faith. We can persevere and overcome our challenges. And then we can step out in faith and share that good news with others. That's how we become part of this glorious tapestry woven by God, a beautiful, unbreakable fabric that tells the story of redemption and hope. Second, like Mary, your faith, your testimony, your willingness to share your truth matters. Hear me when I say that your story and your words and your transformation have power to ignite change, to bring comfort and hope, and lead others to the feet of the risen and rising Savior. It's true, believe me. God wants to use your single, precious, fragile self and your unique story to create something beautiful that's eternal and that carries the greatest news the world has ever known. A wise pastor once told me, your test becomes your testimony. The power of your story, your healing, strength, and triumph serves as a balm to others who are still struggling. Come on, let's show them what God can do. And third, Mary Magdalene shows that the gospel of Jesus Christ breaks down all barriers. Social, cultural, economic, spiritual, mental, emotional obstacles, so that they may be overcome with Christ. Mary found freedom in Christ, freedom to grow, to follow, to lead, to offer credible testimony to the apostles and to Christ's holy church. And if she can, we can too. I just love this badass woman of the Bible. And that's why I wanted to talk about her today. And now that we have her whole story and the big picture, may we find the strength and courage to become towers of faith, just like Mary Magdalene, and get on with our badass lives. Amen?
It's halftime, which means it's time to talk about upcoming events and opportunities here at Harmony Tulika Lake. First, join us for Friday Fun Night at 6 p.m. this Friday, September 6th in Fellowship Hall. This month's theme is 80s karaoke. So get in the spirit and wear your favorite 80s gear or just come as you are. See you then. Next, don't forget we will have a special combined service at the Hollywood campus next Sunday, September 8th. We will not be meeting at Harmony Tulika Lake. We'll celebrate Reverend Kathy Cooper Ledesma's last Sunday service as our senior pastor, and afterward there'll be a reception. The very next day, Monday, September 9th, at 7:30 p.m., Reverend Jefferson will lead a time of meditation in the sanctuary here at Harmony Tulika Lake. All are welcome. Lastly, this month's fundraising drive is for the LAUSD Homeless Program. Check out the e-news for more info about which items can be donated, and you have until September 22nd on Sunday when we will have our annual Blessing of the Backpacks. We'll be blessing the donated items, and you can bring your children's backpacks too. And now, to close us out, let's go to Gaddison and the worship band.
Wonderful, so wonderful, it's your unfailing love. Your cross has spoken mercy over me. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no heart could fully know how glorious and beautiful you are. Beautiful one. Beautiful one, I adore, beautiful one, my soul must sing. so powerful. Your glory fills the sky. Your mighty works displayed for all to see. The beauty of your majesty awakes my heart to sing. How marvelous and wonderful you are, oh God, beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul must sing. Sing it again and say, beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one my soul sing. Yeah. And you open my eyes to the wonders anew, capture my heart with this love, and nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. See, you open my eyes to the wonders anew, and capture my heart with this love, because nothing on earth is as beautiful as you. Oh yeah, my soul must sing, my soul must sing, my soul must sing, beautiful one, yeah, my soul must sing, my soul must sing, my soul must sing, beautiful one, yeah, beautiful one, I one I adore, beautiful one, my soul must sing. Beautiful one I love, beautiful one I adore, beautiful one, my soul must sing.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay here on the Harmony Podcast Network. Produced and recorded by me, Donna Miller. This week's guests were Reverend Dr. Mary Dennis and Gaddison and the Harmony Worship Band. Be sure to like, rate, subscribe, and especially to download these episodes, which helps us to continue making content for you and all our listeners. Sunday Replay is sponsored in part by Hollywood United Methodist Church, of which Harmony Tooloola Lake is the second campus. Find us on social media and leave us a comment. Join us next Sunday for the special service honoring Reverend Kathy. Until then, as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.